listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. I am your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk, Worldview Watch Time, as we do every day to end the day here, thinking about how our faith applies to what's going on out there and trying to think not just about our faith, but with our faith. What does our doctrine, what does our belief say about what we see, and what does it mean for us now? My guest, as always on Monday mornings, Dr. Bob Weiss of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, Missouri. We're going to be talking about life issues. Dr. Weiss, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Pastor Fisk. To you and your listeners. Blessed rainy morning.
It is rainy here in St. Louis for sure. Drizzle, drizzle, but warm outside, which is nice. You said that there was quite a pile from this weekend.
Well, there's always a pile when I take a look at some of these bioethical issues that are going on. I just hope your listeners are understanding that this is the way the world is right now. Talking with some of the other professors and students and the pastoral theology class I teach and the genetic science and Christian perspective class I teach, they keep saying, you know, Dr. Weiss, it seems to me this is just kind of how it's still going, and then how do we deal with this? And I keep telling them to go back to the basics, go back to the scriptures and the catechism and stick to the big pictures we have here on creation, redemption, sanctification, stewardship, And I agree with what Luther says in his first volume of his commentary on the book of Genesis. If the science does not agree with the scriptures, as far as we can tell, as he well knows, then it's not good science. So that's a pretty bold statement, but it's a statement that I think we need to keep in tow here. So I do have some good news, at least from Texas, as usual, a very conservative state, and they have come up with what's called the physician liability bill, which allows doctors to withhold information about fetal abnormalities or disabilities from others when the disclosure of that information is deemed harmful to the mother or the child. And this, of course, avoids the lawsuits regarding, quote-unquote, wrongful birth. And so the pro-life group, of course, they're saying this is just a veiled attempt to limit abortion rights. But I just thought I'd share that because I know you have some listeners in Texas. I have some relatives through my wife that listen to KFUO. And, you know, these are just, I think it's a good thing that Texas is doing. Perhaps other states will follow suit. The other thing that is popping up again in the news, and that is making eugenics acceptable again. What we're talking about for your listeners, eugenics means good beginnings, and that can have both a positive and a negative value. But the negative side of this is that this whole new thing that we've discussed on the radio called gene editing, where they can go in and edit your genetic code that's located in the nucleus of every body cell. There are people now that are proposing, and this is put out in, well, it was an op-ed page in the Los Angeles Times that I read, and this goes back to the 1920s when Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr. said three generations of imbeciles are enough. And what they're saying now is that we can have really good eugenics simply by editing embryos to prevent parents from having children who may have a disability, such as Down's or open spine or something, other diseases like that, cystic fibrosis. Because back in those days, from 1920 to 1972, they were sterilizing about 80,000 human beings in the United States. That was called eugenics, good genes. They only wanted the good people. They didn't want anybody that could muck up the white race. And so so in that context, this is on the rise again, this whole history of eugenics, which, to be quite frank, is something that Hitler was involved with.
It's a very dark past. And if I can, I'm just jumping for just a second here, but the eugenics, the best way to think of this, if you're out there and you know, it seems like a big word, it just means human breeding. That we're going to start applying breeding techniques to humanity, which means you're going to look at the weak, whatever that means. And whoever's in charge gets to decide what the weak is. And you're going to say that the weak don't have the right to use the resources that the rest of us need. We're not going to let them breed. It's one step away from we're going to kill them, too. So as you mentioned, Hitler was a huge proponent of eugenics because he believed that there were certain people out there that were more worthy of life than others. Of course, he said the Jews were the least worthy. But then you also had the homosexuals and the Slavs and the Poles. They were also not quite as worthy. You really had a certain group that was ultimately going to be allowed to live and breathe. That gave it a bad name for a while, and so everyone's been kind of hush-hush about it. The fact that it's coming back is terrifying because it seems to think, oh, there'll never be another bad idea like Hitler had again. This time we'll use it for good. But at the very beginning, you've got to say there are some humans who are simply not as valuable as others and is the weakest among us, which as Christians we believe it is the weakest that are the most necessary. They're the ones that teach us mercy. They're the ones that our Lord says we treat with great respect within the body of Christ and so forth. So it's a terrifying thing. It bodes very ill for the future of our civilization.
Well, it does. And I think there's a book that I would encourage your listeners to get. It's about close to 450 pages, but I believe I've mentioned this before, but it is worth looking at. It's a history book. It's called War Against the Weak, War Against the Weak by Edwin Black, B-L-A-C-K. He's a very good historian, and he does this. He does exactly what you're talking about, Pastor. He does the whole history of eugenics in overseas, in Central Europe, England, and the United States, and lays out everything, what happened, how this country here influenced what Hitler was doing, even in England, where you find out that Churchill, the Rockefellers, and other people were involved in this whole history of trying to purify the human race in Central Europe and here in the United States. And California was, of course, one of the big leaders in this whole movement. So you are correct. It is something that is coming back in sex selection, gene editing, and also other areas in terms of deciding who lives and who dies, and even in the area, of course, physician-assisted suicide and euthanasia.
If someone is not quite able to pick up War Against the Weak, 450 pages, I do recommend trying. If you're a reader, by all means, get it. There's a movie you can watch, too, from, oh, man, it's got to be 20 years ago now, called Gattaca, G-A-T-T-A-C-A, I think it is. And what that will give you is a picture of what the world they're trying to create actually looks like. And what's amazing is that it's a story that really is against that picture and is a kind of a triumph of the human spirit sort of thing, that we really should trust in the God who is made us who we are. But even so, it's worth your time. If you want to know the dream, the vision of the eugenics movement, Gattaca is going to give you a good taste of it.
Yeah, in fact, I use Gattaca stands for the base pairs in the human genome code, guanine, adenine, thymine, and cytosine. And I use that actually in my genetics class to demonstrate that. So I appreciate you bringing that up because it is a very good movie. And it has a lot of other overtones in there of how some sons, parents don't want their they're not living up to their parents' expectations and so forth. So it has a lot of themes in it, and I agree with you. It's one of those movies that it really is worth seeing in terms of what we just chatted about.
I think it's a movie that you wouldn't see made today. You just couldn't.
Oh, no.
They wouldn't make it today. That's how fast we've changed.
It wouldn't make it at all. It wouldn't sell on the open market in Hollywood. One last thing that I'd like to bring up before time leaves us. Is that in the United States, they're growing human embryos now, embryonic human beings. They want to grow them more than 14 days. Right now, you can only grow them up to 14 days. Now, for your listeners, this might sound like, well, what's the big deal? But we also believe that the human embryo is the human being. It has a body and a soul. It's an embodied person. And so what they're looking at is what they call a synthetic human entities with embryo-like features, which simply means we want to grow beyond the 14 days to see how far we can take it so we can experiment on it. Now, this may seem a little like a Dr. Frankenstein and his creature that he created, but that's what this article in the journal, what's called eLife, what they're calling for is a wide-ranging discussion on this. But now, first of all, embryos could not be experimented on for 7 days. Then they raised it up to 14 days. And now people look at embryos and say it's just a mass of cells. And this, of course, is calling on us Christians to stand up and say, no, it's just not a mass of cells. This is God's creation. This takes our listeners and all of us back to the first article, back to the incarnation and what it means to live a life of Christ in this world. So once again, I think this opens the door for Christians to continue their witnessing. And I think this is where all of this goes, to lift high the cross of Christ.
People wouldn't let you do that kind of thing to a cat, and yet we can do it to a human. It's unbelievable to me that the blindness, and yet I have a choice, I guess, as a Christian. I can sit here and be angry, which is my initial reaction, and say, oh, it's unbelievable. And the other half is to step back and say, no, it's not unbelievable at all. It's totally predictable. This humanity, through all our history, has been violent and barbaric. And the only thing that's ever managed to pull us out of that is a careful attention to natural law. And that's what we've been systematically removing, systematically rejecting any kind of natural law. Darwinian evolution pretty much goes against the possibility of there being such a thing. We've been removing it from our worldview, our popular philosophy. Why should we be surprised when we see us doing barbaric things? It should be what we begin to expect.
So what I would say is for your listeners, there are several, I know, books that are CPH puts out and other places that are very good at discussing what is natural law. In fact, I would simply ask your pastors, could we talk more about natural law and its relationship to what is ongoing in our world these days, in terms of some of these technologies, but just living the life of Christ in this world, because it's being tossed out the baby with the bathwater on this whole thing, and we cannot continue to allow that. And so I think there are many pastors out there and lay people that are, and I know some teachers, deaconesses, and other church professionals that are trying to continue to do this, but we can't. You know, we obviously aren't going to be giving up, but I think it causes us to, like the Lord says, to remain steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So in that context, they need to hear what you have to say about this natural law, because it's just being shredded by society, but we obviously know how to bring it back together.
I tried something at one of my parishes, and it went over very well with some people, and then there were others who really despised it. And what I tried doing was using the first 15 minutes of Bible study to talk about the application of the Ten Commandments to the world that we see. Basically trying to get us to think with natural law about the world around us. And some of that was politics, but that's because things like life issues show up in politics. That's effectively the only category we have for them. And man, there were people who just adored that time, so that we always went over time because they wanted to talk more about that and less about, say, Genesis chapter 16 or whatever. And then there were those who said, this isn't Bible study. This isn't what we need at all. You got to stop doing this, Pastor. And I was torn because, on the one hand, I really respected that they wanted more of Genesis 16 exegesis, right? Let's get into the text. But on the other hand, it was like, wait, what good does it do for us to know who Ehud is if I can't learn to stand against my culture and say that's wrong? And as a Christian, I don't have to shut up about this. That's wrong what they're doing out there. That is immoral and evil. It's not just because the Bible says so. No civilization would ever do such a thing. About a minute left, Dr. Weiss.
Yeah, I mean, I've had people tell me that, you know, Pastor, I ran across Ichabod in the Old Testament. Could we talk about Ichabod? I said, how about talking about the Ten Commandments for holy living? You know, how about the first one? You know, because St. James, you know, he writes, when you break one, you break them all. And so you get into the Ten Commandments, and people go, oh, I know the Ten Commandments. And then you soon find out, well, really, they don't know the Ten Commandments.
Now, the sure sign you don't know them is you say you know them.
Exactly. This is where I think the Lord's Catechism, from my perspective, is really very, very helpful in breaking loose a lot of these issues and getting into loving God and loving your neighbors yourself, especially when we get into the whole issue of vocation and what it means to live the life of Christ in this world. And especially taking it back to the very first commandment, where certainly everything else flowers from, in terms of Christians living a life of Christ in this world as redeemed Christians through this Lent and now into very soon into Easter.
My guest, Dr. Bob Weiss of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, Worldview Watch. Learn to think about what's going on out there and taking a close look at those life issues. Thank you for being with us today, Dr. Weiss.
My pleasure. God's blessing to you and your listeners. Bye-bye.
It matters, start to finish. Christ is God's yes to everything, but there's a whole lot of us saying no out there. There's a whole lot of wickedness in the world, and that is why Christ died. Lent comes along to remind us we're part of that wickedness too. We need to be brought under that shepherd of the sheep, regenerated and made new by his blood. But now, made new by his blood, it's not time for silence. It's time to speak. It's time to say, hey, universe, our Lord Jesus Christ has died, he's risen, and he's coming again. And whether it's today or whether it's tomorrow, it doesn't matter. Because we all are going to wake up at the dawn. And you're listening to His Time.